long ago that I don't remember it that well. But it was a Battle of the Books book a long time ago by Jennifer Choldenko. And it's the first in a series, which I never read the other ones in it. Have you read the other books in the series?
I didn't know it was a series.
Yeah, there's three. So it's Al Capone Does My Shirts, Al Capone Shines My Shoes, and Al Capone Does My Homework.
But is he good at it?
He provides so many services at Alcatraz. Shirts, shoes, and homework. Yeah, I remember that being a fun book. It's also just an interesting premise of a kid living in a prison.
And ending up enjoying it.
Yeah, definitely not your everyday scenario. Well, now that you know there's three, maybe you'll read more. Pick up where you left off.
I don't know. I don't see how there could be anything else to add to the story. I feel like it was pretty complete.
I have this book that, I don't know, I haven't even been reading it. I read it like a year ago, but it's been on my mind, so I'm just going to share it.
Okay.
It's called Ruby Haller by Sharon Creech, and it's about these two orphan twins, and they have moved between foster families and orphanages for years, and they just want a loving place to live. Then they meet this older couple whose children have grown, and they want to adopt them. And they, like, it's all about like gaining the trust and stuff. And they live in this place called Ruby Haller. And yeah, and it's about, like, at first the twins, their names are Dallas and Florida. At first it's about, like, they don't really trust the older couple, but then they live with them for a while, and they all gain each other's trust. So it's sweet. And she's made a bunch of books.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, did I never read anything by her? But then I did find one that I read by her. I read Saving Winslow, which is about like a little, I think it was a baby donkey, or was it a mini donkey?
Oh, I think I either read that or I heard of it.
But it's, yeah, like the cover of the book was too cute not to read.
Yeah.
A little donkey.
She wrote, I think she wrote Moo.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right, and she wrote Love That Dog and Hate That Cat.
Yeah.
And
Walk Two Moons.
Yeah,
that's a very famous one of hers.
Yeah.
And then she wrote the sequel to it, which actually happened before that.
That Wanderer?
Yeah.
I think she maybe.
And the funny thing is, he kind of talked about what would happen in it, kind of. When there was this line when they were reading from the journals, and since the second book is a journal, it actually deals with that line. And so I just, in my mind, I imagined that everything worked out happily ever after. Because I hate it when stuff doesn't. That's why I pretty much hate horror movies and stuff. Scares me.
Too scary. I have a book I could talk about as well. I just read a graphic novel, a middle grade graphic novel called Enlighten Me by Min Lee, with illustrations by Chan Chow. And I've read other things by Min Lee, primarily picture books, although he's contributed to some anthologies for middle grade readers. And he's also written for some, I think, Green Lantern comics. And Chan Chow, I have never read her work before, but I guess she did some of the Babysitter's Club graphic novel adaptations. So that's cool. And she's done work in animation. But I really liked the artwork in here a lot. So I would definitely check out other things from her. But the story is about a character named Bin, who goes with his family on a trip. And the kids are all pretty skeptical about the plan, because they are going to a silent meditation retreat. And they're kind of like, why can't we just go to like normal camp, like where we can talk and like use our devices and stuff? But instead, they're going to this silent meditation retreat. So they can't talk for a whole weekend, can't use their video games. And Bin is also dealing with some emotions around some bullying situations at school that are centered on his Vietnamese heritage. So some classmates not saying the kindest things. And then when he fights back against the bullies, he gets in trouble. So he's got a lot going on in his mind and would be happy to just escape into his video games. And he actually does some sort of imagining of how to deal with his situations through video games. But they actually find that they get some things out of a silent meditation retreat. And one part of it that isn't silent is that for the younger people involved in this retreat. So for the kids, they have a time period each day where one of the nuns at the place tells stories of the Buddha's past lives. And so through this book, you get to hear some of those stories, which is interesting as well. So I thought it was great, very different. I assume not that many kids go on silent meditation retreats, although I know there are some that do. And probably a lot of people reading it are not as knowledgeable about Buddhism too. I know I hadn't heard some of these tales before, so it was interesting to hear them or see them. But yeah, I thought it was an interesting way of sort of conveying all these different things in one book. That book is out now. It's called Enlighten Me by Min Li and Chan Chow. So you can check it out.
When you said that when he fights back, he gets in trouble, that's annoying because it happens.
It's interesting too, I feel like, with graphic novels that so much can get conveyed through, I mean, there's things that get conveyed through the sort of dialogue or the words on the page, but then you also get a lot of the story through the images. And I'd actually be curious to see more from the story because we don't really get much of his school life. It's really focused on the meditation retreat, but you can tell in like the sort of flashbacks or remembering of these times in school that you can tell that there's some of the classmates who are not fond of their friends bullying, like people that are there on the sidelines that see what's happening and seem to not be in on it. And I'd be curious to see how sort of some of those scenarios can play out, the people on the sidelines stepping up. But yeah, it is sad that when someone gets in trouble for fighting back, but the person that instigated it in the first place doesn't get in trouble.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying.
Well, before we go for the day, so I want to do a final reminder to our listeners that we're in the midst of the fall pledge drive for WGXC and encourage our listeners to make a contribution to WGXC. Your support will help us meet the most basic FM station operating costs and keep WGXC on the radio dial. During this pledge drive, we're really encouraging listeners to become a monthly supporter, making a donation every month and an amount of your choosing. This is really easy to set up. You can go to wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 to make your contribution. And we thank our monthly sustaining supporters for helping keep WGXC going. Thank you for your dedication. And we also want to thank everyone who listens to Bound by Books for helping keep us going too. But please pledge your support. Go to wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. And of course, WGXC is a program division of Wave Farm, a 501c3 nonprofit arts organization. So your contributions are tax deductible to the full extent of the law.
Because now you have less taxes to do, which mom tells me is very good.
Lovely. we'll be back next week to talk about some more books, but we're out of time for today. So everybody take care, support your local radio station, and read lots of great books this week. Happy reading, everybody. Bye.
Happy reading. Thank you.
We just want to party.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Guillermo Rickerson of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
You have the already global networks. So my argument is very simple. The present media is too large and wasteful. From now on, we should think about the more smaller media to diverse our culture and community. I have different idea on airwave. Airwave belong to the every people, everybody, not to the states or a government. Okay, I will make the transmitter now. This is Pepper Tiger Radio, special radio station. Telephone number is 212-420-9045.
Pedimos que por favor reporten al 420-9045. Estamos midiendo la fuerza de esta transmisión, una nueva emisora.
Don't just listen to radio, make it.
This is great.
Let's but I have all the VHS.
Independent narrowcasting.
Less than it costs to buy a real good radio.
This is WNYU too. We're actually going over a really powerful station.
Really?
Right
we're
now.
Going over NYU?
Yeah, so if you can imagine, if we go on a space that's not being used, we can go even further.
Yeah. Not that there are a lot in New York. But keep yours close to the mic. Guys know what's called. We're really getting a lot of reach and a lot of distance. Nobody lives around here, that's the thing. Tell me if I'm going to bump into these guys.
You got to turn it up or something.
What, the
That's not them, is it?
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that almost 13,000 people living in the 18th and 19th congressional districts will go without pay if the federal government shuts down this weekend, according to the Congressional Research Service and New York Senator Chuck Schumer. He said, and I quote, "We cannot afford to let the extreme fringe views of the House Republican Conference risk a government shutdown and needlessly hurt New York families. This is not an abstract issue. If the House GOP refuses to embrace this bridge towards cooperation and away from extremism, the government will inevitably shut down, causing disruptions for millions of New Yorkers to services they rely on, while thousands of federal workers could be furloughed," end quote. Democrats in the Senate have passed a spending plan, but House Republicans are deadlocked with a small group of ultra-conservative representatives blocking all compromises. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said September 28th that he would not take up Senate legislation designed to keep the federal government fully running. He did not offer an alternative plan, so this weekend shutdown seems inevitable. Republican Mark Molinaro represents the 19th District and, without giving details, said he has a plan, saying, and I quote, "In a bipartisan government, our solution must be bipartisan, and that's what I'm continuing to work on," end quote. Democrat Pat Ryan, who represents the 18th District, said, and I quote, "I'm pushing relentlessly to keep the government open, but extreme Republicans in the House refuse to negotiate. They haven't proposed legislation to fund the government and won't vote on the overwhelmingly bipartisan Senate legislation that would avert a shutdown. Thousands of Hudson Valley families, including active-duty military personnel and postal workers, will go without pay. Millions more could go without vital services like SNAP and WIC." End quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Philip Pantuso reports for the Times Union about how Tubby's in Kingston is celebrating 5 years of bringing indie rock, hardcore, noise, and experimental bands to the Hudson Valley. Co-owner Corey Plump, who does the booking for the venue, said, and I quote, "I want it to feel like a different space as much as I can every time you walk in here. There's usually something for everybody if you're of an adventurous mind musically," end quote. And other owners, Katie McElroy, Drew Perino, and Morgan Coy, have made the bar into a destination for bands around the country. McElroy said it began more as a, and I quote, "neighborhood bar that had a few shows a week," end quote, rather than the full-scale music venue it is today. Back then, BSP and the Beverly Lounge in Kingston also hosted similar shows, but they are closed now, and now, Coy says, and I quote, "you'll see touring bands here that you would never see in a venue this size," end quote. Perino said, and I quote, "what's really hard now with businesses is everything has to be a certain thing or fit into a certain ideal or attract a certain kind of people. But we can just do what we do. And that feels like a real privilege," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. New York's Foliage Report says this week, and I quote, "in Greene County, spotters reporting from the upper elevations around Windham predict up to 40% leaf change with green, red, and yellow leaves of average brilliance, while foliage spotters in Catskill predict 10 to 15% change with a mix of orange, yellow, and red leaves. Albany County spotters at Thatcher State Park in Voorheesville predict up to 35% foliage change this weekend with average shades of yellow, orange, and green, along with some wisp of red. Columbia County spotters in Hudson predict 15% change this weekend with average shades of yellow and gold and a few splashes of orange," end quote. Read more about this at New York's Foliage Report online. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hispanic Heritage Month is here, challenging anti-immigrant racism. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. National Hispanic Heritage Month in the United States runs from September 15th to October 15th, starting mid-month when several nations celebrate their independence. On September 15th, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. On September 16th, Mexico, and Chile on September 18th. The month began as a week in 1968. This year, the month coincides with the growing crisis along the U.S.-Mexico border. Thousands arrive daily seeking asylum, but instead finding razor wire hostility and arrest. This flood of humanity is what Democracy Now! News co-host Juan Gonzalez calls the harvest of empire, the title of his seminal History of Latinos in America, as the consequences of colonial interventions abroad by the U.S. government create conditions in impacted countries that residents simply cannot endure. On the day before this year's Hispanic Heritage Month began, A federal judge in Austin, Texas, ordered Texas to remove a 1,000-foot floating barrier in the Rio Grande near Eagle Pass. The barrier, with large orange buoys strung together, separated by serrated saw blades, is the latest and perhaps most grotesque symbol of the anti-immigrant movement in the United States. Texas appealed the ruling, and a federal appeals court stayed the order as the case proceeds, allowing the barrier to remain in place. In early August, a body was found entangled in the barrier. Last week, the bodies of two drowning victims, an adult and a 3-year-old child, were recovered nearby as well. Most migrants face months of dangerous travel before even getting to the Rio Grande River crossing.
Queremos pasar por un mejor futuro.
We want to cross into the United States for a better future. The journey has been very difficult. We have been mistreated. We have been hungry. We have suffered. The children are tired.
Mikel Alexander, a Venezuelan migrant, told Reuters near the border.
We will cross the border so that we can do well, because our country is struggling.
Mikel's story is repeated day after day as millions in the Western Hemisphere flee increasingly dangerous and desperate situations in their home countries.
The historic interventions, military interventions, the sanctions that we've imposed on different countries in Central America, in the Caribbean, in South America, and of course the failed war on drugs are all important factors that are displacing people, creating misery, and responsible for much of the violence, corruption, and impunity in Central America, increasingly in places like South America, like Venezuela.
That's Democratic Congress member Jesus Chuy Garcia speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
That is at the root of what is driving people to desperation, and they're coming to the U.S. seeking asylum and refuge, fleeing terrible consequences, risking their lives to get here.
Garcia, the first Mexican-born U.S. Congress member from the Midwest, has requested more federal assistance for Chicago as thousands of migrants arrive there, many bussed by Republicans like Texas Governor Greg Abbott in cynical and potentially illegal political stunts. The ongoing influx of migrants, as Representative Chuy Garcia said, has deep roots in U.S. government interventions over many decades, including military interventions in the Dominican Republic, Haiti, Panama, Grenada, the U.S.-backed 1954 coup against the democratically elected president of Guatemala, and the ensuing U.S. support for murderous militaries and paramilitaries in Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and Nicaragua in the 1980s. Crushing economic sanctions imposed by the U.S. on Cuba and Venezuela echo the dictate issued by President Nixon to the CIA in 1970, launching the plan to overthrow President Salvador Allende in Chile to, quote, make the economy scream, unquote. Latinos have played a central role in U.S. history, yet this rich history is under attack as right-wing interests have derailed a Smithsonian Institution exhibit on their role in the civil rights movement being developed for the planned National Museum of the American Latino.
Our major concern was just to make sure that we were telling a truthful story, a complex story, and a nuanced story about how Latinos have grappled with their relationship to the United States.
Felipe Hinojosa is a Baylor University history professor and one of the curators of the paused exhibit. He spoke on Democracy Now!
The larger and broader questions of who are we and who are we as a community and what is our relationship to the nation were central questions for Latino civil rights activists in the 1960s and 1970s.
The civil rights exhibit has been replaced by one focusing on salsa music. Instead of these complex narratives, we see a rising movement to erase history and supplant it with xenophobic soundbites. This dog-whistle racism buttressed by razor-barbed buoys along the border represents a dark and dangerous turn in our nation's history. Let's make Hispanic Heritage Month a time to celebrate diversity and to overcome the legacy of racism in the United States. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now, here is your WGXC Weekend Weather Report. On Sunday, it will be sunny with a temperature high near 73 degrees and a north wind at 3 to 8 miles an hour. And on Sunday night, it will be mostly clear with a temperature low of around 58 degrees. And on Monday, sunny with a high near 74 degrees. And that is your weekend weather report from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
But right now, we are joined by Mike Amari, a local event organizer for Opus 40 Basilica Hudson and other places, and Liam Singer, the owner of the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, who is also on Wave Farm's board of directors. And each month they come and preview events from their the show paper in the Chosen Family zine. And this month we're talking about what's coming up in October. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Good.
Nice
yeah.
to see that sun.
Yes, it's it's after a dreary weekend, it is the sun has returned.
I guess I should preface by saying that all the shows that we're talking about, the show paper, we'll post it on our Instagram.
Yes.
Probably, pretty much right around the first. And then the zines themselves, the physical printed zines with the show paper in them, will drop probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend. Mm-hmm. And we post, where we're dropping them on the Instagram as well. So if you want to, pick up one of these things or just, screenshot it on your phone or whatever, that's how you can find what we're talking about.
Yeah, and if we weren't clear at the beginning, The Chosen Family is a zine that you guys put out that has all kinds of interesting stuff in it, a very interesting events calendar.
Yeah, we try to sort of focus on small, mid-sized DIY spaces, all the way from the Hudson Catskill area down to the Newburgh Poughkeepsie Beacon area and, roughly the Hudson Valley. It's a kind of nebulous region. It can be hard to know what's going on, but, hopefully people check it out and are willing to make that half hour, 40 minute drive and see something new.
Well, people who live around here probably know how hard it is to find out about events. I mean, I think that's sort of what this is born out of, is like we kind of do some of the research for you, so to speak, where it's like, you might not have to rely on your social media algorithm or whatever your, mailing lists that you're signed up to find out about shows. You can hopefully find out about something.
Yeah, I think we've all had the experience of being on social media and seeing like, oh, this show is 2 days ago.
Right. All the good ones happened 2 days ago. Yeah.
Or when a post says tonight and you're like, please be today. Please be today.
Yes.
It's like 5 days
ago. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. But October, obviously we're getting into the Halloween season. So there are some good. I mean, Halloween being on a Tuesday, it's one of those funny years where it's hard to know what the
weekend of
what the night is to celebrate, but there's a lot of good stuff.
Seems
happening.
Like people are banking on the Saturday. For
yeah,
sure.
Saturday's
the,
a big
Saturday,
one.
The Saturday before or the Saturday
after? Saturday,
Saturday before.
Before. Yeah,
so that's like the 28th, I believe. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff on the 28th.
Mm-hmm. On the 27th, Shadow Witch is playing Half Moon. They're a lot of fun. They do a black white show on Halloween. They're kind of a doom metal band, but they do this. The lead singer told me it was inspired by seeing Genesis when he was a kid. They did this kind of black light thing.
Well, it's very like DIY black light show though. It's like he's made his own apparatus for these lights, and then they wear costumes that are made for it, and so it's really it is pretty
great.
It's great, but it's kind of lo-fi in that way too.
And Half Moon has some more stuff than usual happening.
They do
month.
It seems like they're a little bit back.
Yeah, they've got two cool experimental shows. On the 6th, they've got Tom Carter, who's a great experimental guitarist. And then on the 14th, Chris Corsano, Leah Bertucci, Ben Vita, Erica Don Lyle. It's kind of a whole big lineup of pretty cool.
Mostly based in the Hudson Valley.
Mostly Hudson
people.
Valley.
Yeah.
I think Erica's touring. So that's fun to see. And also a show on the 1st, I think, at John Doe Records. So Hudson's getting
that
some
that Laurie
stuff
Goldstein show
work.
On the
yeah.
first, right? Yeah, yeah.
Well, and Half Moon has that band Baba Commandant
right.
and the Mandingo Band, who are playing three shows in the Hudson Valley. So Half Moon, the Falcon,
and
then Tubbies.
Right?
Yeah. So, and they're an amazing band. I think they played at Half Moon a couple months ago as well. And they're from, I want to say, Ghana?
Yeah. No, Burkina Faso.
Oh, Burkina Faso. Yeah. So, yeah, so amazing band. And you could, you know, have your pick. I'm sure that one of those places is near you, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, definitely worth seeing. Yeah. And yeah, we were sort of just discussing which shows to cover, and it has to be mentioned that Lightning Bolt is playing Colony, which is just so interesting. Interesting a venue choice as we wonder in the magazine if they're playing Colony. Does that necessarily make them classic rock?
I like that.
The boomers in Woodstock are going to be out for Lightning Bolt.
I've never seen anyone mosh in there, really.
No, I mean, I think
Super Chunk, there was lots of pogoing going
on in
Colony, which may have been a first for.
I mean, I remember years ago they did a show there with Fishbone.
Oh yeah, people
and that Fishbone. And that went over really well and
crowd surfing.
Yeah, crowd surfing and stuff.
That's a little more Woodstock than Lightning Bolt, though.
Yeah, totally. No, Lightning Bolt's like just more of an affront to your senses.
Sheer
which,
force.
Yeah.
But with an aging and a sort of aging fan base, I'd be curious to know how wild it'll get, near the drums, if people will mosh the way they used to.
Yeah, if they still have that kind of following, like if that following is coming from all over the region to see them and bringing the energy, which I would assume they would, they don't care what venue it's in. It's like, we're here to see our favorite band,
But that same night at Tubby's, there's a great noise show. If the Lightning Bolt shows
competing noise shows, there was a noise show in Cairo on Saturday.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's
it got moved here at the last moment, but there was a noise show in Cairo.
Was it in that building on Main Street again?
At one point it was going to be, and then it moved to somebody's house, like behind Main Street, but it kept getting moved at the last minute. It was supposed to be in Kingston or something.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. I know that there are a couple local noise artists who live in Cairo and have been throwing some stuff there, which is good to see. And there was also, happened too last minute for us to list for this month, but there was a show at Nonchalant Gallery on Sunday that seemed very well attended. So good to see things happening in Cairo.
For the first time that I can remember, non-cover bands performing in Cairo.
Yeah, well, there was like a month or two ago, there was that whole like noise festival, Buddy Fest.
Yeah, that's Matt put on.
Moved around a few times over the years, but
it has been in Cairo before. His house, I think I went one year. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
George Clanton at Glens Falls House. That's a pretty big one for all those
Glens Falls House
fans.
Yeah.
More Cairo.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Round Top, but part of Cairo, yeah.
Yeah.
There's
also, October, I always think of O Positive Festival in Kingston.
Right.
Is, in Indigenous Peoples Weekend, the 6th through the 8th. I don't know if they've, released the schedule, but, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, if you have one of those days and you can go, you're just going to find something.
I mean, they got Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah. Which is crazy. I think he's going to be in the Old Dutch Church.
He's not opening for Lightning Bolt?
Yeah. which is an interesting venue. Yeah. And then this Sunday coming up, which is the first, is the final day of Tubby's 5-year, which is kind of a mini festival in its own right, which is in the alleyway next to Tubby's, and it's like 10 bands or something.
Yeah, amazing lineup. They killed it.
Honestly, artists from like all over the world and all over the region. So I don't know if there's
Landlady at Graveside. That's cool.
Yeah.
Adam Schatz, who is Landlady, is a very cool Brooklyn musician who's, doesn't have huge name recognition, I guess, but has probably played with someone you love. It's kind of all over the place. What else do we have going on?
While we're looking, we're listening to WGXC Acre, and we're talking with Mike Amari and Liam Singer, and going over the show paper listings from the Chosen Family Zine.
This was an interesting one. This is on October 15th. at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, the Upstate Films Theater there. Harry Smith's early abstractions. So this is experimental short films that he made that I've never heard about. And a local musician with an ensemble, with a band, Will Epstein, who's an interesting musician in his own right, is like doing a live soundtrack.
That's cool.
That was something that I hadn't really heard anything about or seen anything about, but sounded really interesting. There's a couple cool little like film things going on. There was another one at Orpheum, I think, that's a documentary that's just coming out about like the roots of like Zydeco and Cajun music. Nice. That sounded really cool.
I love Zydeco. So,
Has anybody been to the local yet in Saugerties?
Oh, well, yeah, you have.
Yeah, just put on a show there on Sunday. Show that I had to move indoors because of the rain from Opus 40. So
how is that venue?
Awesome space. I mean, it's an old church chapel, so it's got these great stained glass windows, high ceiling, you know, wood, everything. So it's cool.
Good.
Yeah, I think for, especially for like quieter stuff, it's like a really
that's what their programming
listening room.
Seems
yeah.
Towards.
But they've got, yeah, we've got some stuff there this month. They have, I think.
They've also got an Afrobeat band.
Yeah.
Neva Wartell was raving about how the first band that played there or something was the best band she's ever seen or something. It was some Afrobeat band. I don't remember.
Yeah, the organizers, I don't know them, but they seem to have a history with event organizing. And they're coming out of the gate with some really strong shows.
Yeah, so that's right in town in Saugerties, right around the corner from the Orpheum and from all, you know, the little main intersection there. So, I mean, as far as I know, it's the first time there's kind of a legit music venue in Saugerties in a long time.
A nightlife district.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of restaurants and the movie theater, and so there's like plenty to do in Saugerties now.
Yeah.
Skate Time dance party for Halloween hosted by Hirana Market. That's cool. That's on the 30th. Avalon, there's a couple Halloween events on the Thursday before Halloween, the 26th. We're hosting a screening of WNUF Halloween Special, which is a sort of modern cult classic Halloween movie.
Yeah, what is that?
It's sort of like a fake, I think it's a I haven't seen it, but it's a fake broadcast from the 80s that I think slowly sort of gets taken over by zombies or something like that.
It's radio.
But Sleepover Trading Company, that's some folks that are starting this sort of idea of in Catskill of these kind of 80s throwback events. So this is, that one's by them. And
my favorite guitarist in the whole world is playing at Tubby's October 21st, I think, Chris Forsyth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
That's that and the Baba Commandant show are two of the biggest ones I want to see this month.
For sure. Those are really good choices. But, yeah, a lot of kind of just local heroes playing this month, too. I mean, I can't go over them all, but just a lot of really talented people from the Hudson Valley, I'm seeing on the calendar this month.
Yeah, so everyone should, you know, check out the show paper, find something. I mean, we all, the great thing about the show paper is that we give these little anecdotes or little descriptions of the shows. So, you know, they aren't from like a press release, and they aren't, you know, totally serious either. So it's like trying to just
give you a little flavor of what
Exactly. So, you know, if something piques your interest, then you can, you know, just go check out that artist's music and see if it's something you want to see.
It's never been easier.
Yeah. And the rest of the zine, I'm trying to think if there's anything interesting to talk about.
Good stories.
Yeah, there was a British guy who lives in Chatham who wrote a piece about like moving to Chatham from England sort of, you know, just the learning, you know, the sort of quirks of the local area and
that Leeds is different than Leeds and things like that.
Yeah. So that was kind of a sort of funny, sort of heartfelt piece that got sent in. The regional rave report is really funny this month. Sarah Van Buren, who writes that, went to a sort of like weekend long rave in the woods.
I saw photos on social media. Yeah. I don't know where it was.
Sustained Release is the fest. Yeah. But I don't know where
so she writes about the sort of hero's journey she went through, as all people do at weekend-long festivals, you know, the highs and the lows. I thought that was cool. And then, yeah, I mean, you know, there was a bunch of great, like, local art, like, illustration sort of stuff that was sent in, and like a collage piece. And so, yeah, the idea with the zine, if anyone out there is interested, is like, it's an open platform, so you can just email us something that you've written or created, and we just put it in. It's like, there's no bar for admittance, there's no criteria other than you being local, and it's just a way. And then we print 1,000 copies and put them all over the area, so it's sort of a cool way to connect dots between the area and for people to find out about other people in the area doing cool stuff.
And while we have you here, Mike, how did are Opus 40 shows over for the season now?
No, we've got a couple more. October 7th, that's a Saturday, is kind of our last big show, which is the Big Takeover, sort of longtime Hudson Valley band, sort of reggae pop sort of band. And then we actually one interesting show that we're doing is called a new group called Carpool Choir. That is a choir of local singers, a lot of really great singers doing like Ukrainian, Bulgarian sort of polyphonic stuff. Nice. That's,
I love that.
Yeah. And I believe they're going to perform like in and on the sculpture at Opus. That is Sunday, October 22nd. Cool. So there's a couple little things like that sprinkled throughout the month, but we're kind of past our busy season.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think we're all very excited that the Opus 40 is doing so many shows in the summer now that I think that was a great addition locally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it seems like some new places are popping up, like indoor spaces. So I have to say I'm kind of optimistic for this winter and just having a little bit more activity. The last few winters, it's felt like things have almost slowed to a halt, not quite, you know, save for like Avalon Tubbies and Colony, you know.
Yeah, we had, you know, good turnouts last winter for, you know, local artists, especially people coming out to see their friends. But I agree, I'm optimistic that attendance will be even better this winter. And like you said, there are a number of new spaces that seem like they're going to try to program year round. So. This is great.
It seems like more and more when I see on social media some national band that I like list their tour dates, almost always now there's a Hudson Valley stop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where before there often was not.
Mm-hmm. Either Hudson Valley or they'll play No Fun up in Troy.
Close enough to drive, too. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I just had a one of those, and they listed Opus 40, Kingston, New York, and I was like... Someone's going to kill me for this.
Oh, yeah. Lots of fans love to list Avalon as being in Catskills.
Catskills. Yeah, yeah. Just Catskills. You'll find it.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else at Avalon while you're here, Liam?
I was just looking. I mean, also Halloween related, there's Brian Dewan is teaming up with Jenny Toomey.
New Catskill resident.
Mm-hmm, for a Halloween show on the 29th. I'm going to join them for a couple songs, as are a few other.
Well, and Avalon has like a lot of dance parties.
We do have a lot of dance parties this month.
You know, because you have the Halloween sort of dance party stuff, and you have CRN
Community Rave Network. We've got Primal Disco.
Yeah,
We have a Friday the 13th party that Trist is doing as well. Lotto dancing.
Yeah. Do you have a bigger audience for the dance DJ things or for the band kind of things, or does it?
I would say that our monthly parties like Community Rave Network and Primal Disco have really built up to be our biggest regular events. Unless we have a live act with someone that has a lot of name recognition already, which is somewhat rare, those are our biggest nights of the month. It's kind of something I want to try to build more next year. Get a few more of those parties that fill different niches. I mean, Michael, who does Primal Disco, really identified a whole crew of people that wanted to go out and dance in the Hudson Valley that didn't have their own party. So I'm sure that that exists.
So if you're out there and you want to dance sometime, people always say there's like no place, but Avalon has several parties for that sort of
thing. I think Avalon has kind of become like probably the best. Like, it's not, I wouldn't call it a nightclub, but it's like the closest thing to like a nightclub that I think the Hudson Valley has.
While hopefully avoiding the pitfalls of what a nightclub can, can be.
Yeah,
it has the extra excitement sometimes. Like, you go and just you're eating because the Korean food is amazing, but something could be going on upstairs and something could be going on in the stage room too. And so you get all these different people that you wouldn't have run into, you run into.
That's kind of the
and
best.
And everyone's waiting in line together at the bar. So that's, you know,
when scenes collide,
that
does make me happy.
And then I guess that how did the Dromedary Record Festival
go? That went wonderfully. A lot of people came for that. That was sort of a very, in some ways, kind of a niche music festival of like, you know, 80s, 90s downtown New York and Hoboken indie bands. But
really, really good lineup. Like, if you are into that scene, it was like,
it was, it was good.
It was awesome. Al, who organized it, just put in a ton of work. He did one night at Tubby's, you know, Friday. And then two nights at Avalon. And it was extremely well attended. Great crowd. The bands were awesome. Yeah. I did sound for the whole thing, so I was shot by the end. But it was really fun.
The secret is Al might have a new show at WGX season.
Oh, love that. All right. That's great. Yeah, he's really been a just great sort of addition to the Hudson Valley scene in terms of making things happen and supporting local bands.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I guess one more thing I'm noticing that I'll say is Falcon just had a lot of intriguing shows to me this month. A lot of cool world music.
And worth mentioning, like, Falcon is always pay what you can, sliding scale at the door.
I've still never been. It's, how far is it from here?
It's in Marlborough, so it's a little south of the Poughkeepsie Bridge. You know, it's a little south of Highland, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's not that far, but you know, it is a little bit of an oasis down there too, like, or an island. It's like there's not too many venues like in Newburgh. There's not too many, you know, there's not really anything in Highland. So it's like, it's sort of like a little bit of a destination sort of spot. And they they do these great international acts, sort of more jazz leaning stuff, I would say. But then they also have like up and coming indie rock stuff.
Yeah.
And it's always, always, always pay what you can, which is incredible.
Yeah. Especially, I think Lightning Bolt is like $23 or $26 or which means it's $30 with the
fees,
the fees and the extras that they don't, a Super Chunk was $30. I'm not used to going to a club and paying that much.
It's true, but then again, I mean, everything else has risen in cost, so should we really still be paying $10 for shows?
Or I'm used to the $5 Fugazi number,
but it's true. It is.
Those days have passed. All right, anything else you guys want to mention?
No, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I think just like
us.
I said, Chosen Family Presents on Instagram, or you can actually go to chosenfamilypresents.com as well, and we list all the places we're dropping the zine, and like I said, we'll share the show paper pages on there as well.
All right, I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and just want to get you up to date on the WGXC community calendar, some events going on this coming week that you might want to attend in person or online. Sunday, October 1st, the traditional Irish music session is at the Shamrock House every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. in East Durham. Monday, October 2nd, every other week, live at Joust in Catskill at 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. is Music for Furniture, bi-weekly live improvised ambient music featuring David and Kenji Garland, Dan Kirkus, Jimmy Garver, Rodney Greenblatt, and other guest performers. Also Monday, October 2nd, Columbia and Green Career Fair is being held at the Columbia Green Community College from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Scott Yoder performs Monday, October 2nd at the Tinker Street Cinema, 6:30 p.m. in Woodstock. Tuesday, October 3rd, there's a free community lunch at the First Reformed Church of Catskill. That's at noon. If you need a hot meal, Tuesday at noon is the place to get it at the First Reformed Church in Catskill. There's eating in options and taking lunch to go options. The free community lunch You can also donate or volunteer at Free Community Lunch, FRCAdmin@Verizon.net, FRCAdmin@Verizon.net, to help out with the Free Community Lunch Tuesday, October 3rd at noon at the First Reformed Church of Catskill. Also in Catskill on Tuesday, October 3rd,